بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إن شاء الله we'll continue with the أصول السنة of Imam Ahmad رحمه الله with the explanation of Sheikh Rabi' bin Hadi al-Madkhali حفظه الله. Imam Ahmad رحمه الله said والغزو ماض مع الأمراء إلى يوم القيامة البر والفاجر لا يترك. And the الغزو refers to that battle or the war, if you like, that is continuing, that jihad continues until the day of judgment. It continues. But does it mean it's always there? It's always there in its different forms sometimes. Not always with the safe. The Prophet ﷺ in his seerah, sometimes with the sword, and sometimes with da'wah, sometimes in other affairs. The jihad al-nafs, for example, that is an affair which is always there. Everyone has to strive in regards to his jihad al-nafs. وَالْغَزُ مَاضٍ مَعَ الْأُمَرَاءِ. And he says here, the ghazu, that jihad is with the leaders of the Muslims. This is referring to the offensive jihad. That this is not done by rabble-rousers, by a group of people going to a different country on their own. All of a sudden they're trying to establish khuruj or jihad. This is not considered to be jihad. This is fasad. Now, and likewise, there are conditions. The banner must be clear. Tawheed, the kalimatullahi al-uliya, must be clear. Not Muslims killing each other, like what's happening in Iraq and Afghanistan. People killing each other like that. Women, children, everyone and anyone. This is not jihad. This is fasad, as the ulama have mentioned. And it's a nice tape you can get from Sheikh Ubaid Hafidhullah in refuting the Jama'at Lashkar Tayyiba, the Jama'at who say there's continuous jihad against the in Kashmir, and he refutes them because jihad has shurut, and from his shurut is that they have to have quwwa, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةِ, and prepare for them what you have of might, of strength. تُرْهِبُونَ بِهِ عَدُوَ اللَّهُ وَعَدُوَكُمْ, then you will such that you bring the fear to the enemy of Allah and your enemy. And likewise, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said أَلْقُوَّةُ الرَّمِي, that in archery there is strength. So that is Sheikh Muhammad ibn Hafidhullah says that's the best thing they had then, and likewise you look at the best thing you have now. So from the best things that are used in war or in battles are planes, tanks, whatever. If you have half the strength in offensive jihad, Sheikh Muhammad al-Banna says, if you have half the strength, and if the leader of the Muslims allows it, the quwwah that is meant here is half the strength, because Allah mentioned that in Surah Al-Anfal, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنْ يَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ عِشْرُونَ صَابِرُونَ يَغْلِبُ مِئَتَيْنَ, and if there are 20 of you, you'll be able to defeat 200. That was the time of Sahaba radu anhum, in the early time in Badr, for example. And that's why 3-1 in Badr was easy for the Sahaba, because one Sahabi was like 10, was worth 10. That was easy. And Allah aided them with the angels. Subhanallah. But after that, Allah says, وَالْآنَ خَفَّفَ اللَّهُ عَنْكُمْ وَعَلِمَ أَنَّ فِيكُمْ ضَعْفًا. And now Allah knows, Allah has made it easy for you. He knows that there's weakness in you. So once the Muslims became weaker, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when there's 100, you'll be able to defeat 200. And what's the ratio there? 2-1. Yani half. So this is one of the proofs that Sheikh Muhammad al-Banna Hafidhullah used to show that you have to have half. Do the Muslims have half that strength? And that is in the quwwa, the madda, the ability. What about the strength of iman? Al-quwwa al-imaniyya. Unfortunately, the ummah, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Hafidhullah says, the ummah is engulfed in, unfortunately, in bid'ah, and in shirk, and in superstitions. Illa man rahim Allah. Not all of them, obviously. We don't make blanket takfir on the Muslims. This is the way of Sayyid Qutb and the takfiris. We don't do that. Alhamdulillah, we say there are Muslims who are alive, and there are Muslim countries. Alhamdulillah. And there are ulama, there are Muslim leaders as well alive. So we don't make blanket takfir of the Muslims like the Khawarij do. So the offensive as well as the defensive jihad, both of them require quwwa. As defensive jihad does not require a leader, but it requires strength. And that the proof that Shaykh Ubayd Hafidhullah used for that is, towards the end of time, Isa alayhi salatu salam will not be ordered to fight Ya'juj wa Ma'juj. Rather, be ordered to go to Mount Tur to get away from the calamity and the fitna of Ya'juj wa Ma'juj. So this is a Nabiullah, a prophet of Allah, and he is not ordered to fight Ya'juj wa Ma'juj. Rather, is ordered to get away from them. Why? Because of quwwah, because of strength, not having the ability to repel their harm. So defensive jihad as well as offensive, if you don't have the ability to repel the harm of the enemy, you don't fight. This is the sunnah of Allah. Unfortunately, the Khawarij, they say, we will fight until the last drop of blood. This is their methodology. And from their statements is, we will fight offensive or defensive, even without a leader. Yani, even without a leader of the Muslims, meaning leader of a Muslim country. What's the hikmah behind that? Sheikh Muhammad al-Banna Hafidhullah says, the hikmah behind fighting behind the leader of the Muslims in the defensive jihad is that when the Muslims are being overcome and being attacked and being pushed back, they can go back to their kingdom. And that will not, they will not perish in that sense. They will go back to their kingdom to regroup, to re-strengthen themselves, and maybe even to have peace accord, such that at that time of peace, like the Fath, the Fath has with the Messenger ﷺ made peace, and the Hudaybiyah treaty, when the Messenger ﷺ made peace, Allah called it victory, Fath, إِنَّ فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا. Allah called it victory, even though it was a peace accord. Hudaybiyah, likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought many people to Islam because of that peace accord, because da'wah was being established and many people came into Islam. So these are some of the statements of the likes of Sheikh bin Baz rahimullah, Sheikh Muhammad al-Banna, as well as Sheikh Ubayd al-Jabri rahimullah, and likewise Sheikh bin Baz rahimullah, and Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah, and Sheikh al-Albani rahimullah. All of them, they are in agreement in this affair, and all of them are in agreement with the previous ulama of the past in this affair. So jihad is not fasad, jihad is not corruption. Rather, the Messenger ﷺ will not go out for jihad before offensive jihad, unless first and foremost he would write letters inviting the people to Islam. He would write to the king of Persia, and he would write to Hercules, the king of Persia. He would write to him and write also to Hercules. He would write to the various kings inviting them to Islam. So this is the first step of offensive jihad, is that first you invite them to Islam. If they don't accept that, then the second step is what? That the ulama mentioned, the second step is, or the second stage is, that they are ordered to pay the jizya. To pay a kind of a tax, which in the end it goes back to the Bayt al-Mal, to help the poor, to help the Muslims, as well as to protect even the non-Muslims, those who are paying that jizya, even they are protected under Muslim state. Subhanallah. Look at the justice of Al-Islam, that they are not forced to accept Islam like that, by with the gun, like you find many of the Khawarij nowadays. They go around, they don't accept these stages. Alatul, just kill the person, put it on the internet and show how brave we are. No, that's not how brave you are, that's how cowardice you are and how foolish you are. Because this is not what Rasulullah used to do. Rasulullah, he was tortured more than you, and more than Afghanistan, and more than Palestine, and more than Iraq. But Rasulullah did not go around putting suicide belt around his body, killing innocent women and children, and killing people, passers-by. Rasulullah never did that. Nor did he go around causing havoc in society. Rasulullah, in any matter, it is complete, and it is a just system in Islam. In all affairs is just. All affairs is just. Even jihad. Jihad is not like the war that the disbelievers fight, and the mockery that they show with the prisoners of war and so on. Islam is not like that. Islam, even with the prisoners of war, they are not to be harmed, like in the sense that they similar to what they do. We do not do that. Rather, Islam, alhamdulillah, has high values. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is from Allah, and this is from His deen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands justice and righteousness. This is the deen of Allah. So here Imam Ahmad rahimahullah says wa qismatul fay, and also the booty, wa iqamatul hudud, and establishment of the punishments. There are two, the a'imma madin. It's something which is always known as something which is for the a'imma of the Muslims, the leaders of the Muslims. They are the ones who get the booty and share it, just like Rasulullah SAW used to do. And likewise, they are the ones who establish the hudud. Unfortunately, we found a group of individuals in America. They used to establish the hudud in their communities. So somebody who was known to beat his wife, on the minbar, the imam will stand up and says, hey, we have heard that so-and-so is beating his wife. Then they will find that person in the majlis, in the sitting there. They will grab him, take him to the back room, and establish the hudud upon him. They would beat him up or whatever. And after that, he was not supposed to beat his wife. Otherwise, he will get the same treatment. What is this? This hudud is for Allah. Allah is the one who establishes the hudud upon the people. And he already established it. It's already established upon, yani, for the leaders of the Muslims. Not the leader of the masjid. The leader of the masjid is only an imam of the masjid. Leads the prayer. That's it. That's it. And if he's someone of knowledge, then he is referred to for knowledge. And he teaches Quran and he helps the people, yani, in that affair. But as for him being the Amir al-Mu'mineen within a country, yani, whether it's Muslim or non-Muslim, this is foolishness. Otherwise you'll have so many Amir al-Mu'mineen and they will all be fighting each other. Alaysa kadhalik? This is called fawda. This is called fawda, yani, chaos. This is called chaos. And so is the hudud is not to be applied except for the leaders of the Muslims. Naam. لَيْسَ لِأَحَدٍ أَنْ يَطْعَنَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And it's not for anyone, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah says, to make ta'an, to make ta'an, to revile the leaders of the Muslims. Because Ahlul Sunnah, their sign is that they make dua for them, they supplicate for them for their betterment. وَلَا يُنَازِعُهُمْ. And nor does he go out against them, yani, oppose them, the leaders of the Muslims. But rather, whoever wants to advise them, he does it secretly. As the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, حديث مسند إمام أحمد من أراد أن يصح حديث سلطان فلا يبديه علانية ولكن يأخذ بيده. ودفع الصدقات إليهم جائزة نافذة. And also giving them the صدقات means the zakawat, the zakah that you gather. If they ask you for it, then you give it. Whether it is zakah of mal or zakah of sawaim, يعني بهيمة الأنعام, cattle or whatever that you have, if they ask for it, such that they are the ones who end up sharing it to the poor of the community in the country, then you give it to them. And if they don't ask for it, then you are responsible to take it out once in after a year has passed by that wealth. من دفع إليهم أجزأت عنه. So whoever, يعني, من دفع إليهم, whoever gives it to them, then it, that is fulfilled. برا كان أو فاجرا. Whether that ruler is a righteous one or an evil one. Who is saying this? Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. Whether that ruler is righteous or an evil ruler. Why? Because in going out against him will cause more harm than good. And from the Sharia of Islam, you don't change an evil and create a greater evil. And this is why some of the scholars of the past used to say that one day with an evil ruler is better than many days with no ruler. With no ruler. Why? Because look at the chaos that happens with no ruler. Look what happened in Iraq. No ruler for a period of time. What happened? Killing. Everywhere. Until today. وَدَفْعُ الصَّدَقَاتِ إِلَيْهِمْ جَائِزَ نَافِذَ. We said that. مَنْ دَفَعَهَا إِلَيْهِمْ جَائِزَ نَافِذَ. وَالصَّلَاةُ الْجُمْعَةِ خَلْفَهُ وَخَلْفْ مَنْ وَلَّاهُ جَائِزَ. And the Salatul Jum'ah is to be, يعني, he is the one who establishes it. The Salatul Jum'ah. Whoever wants to read Quran, I remember one time we were in Sheikh Obaid's dars after Salatul Jum'ah, and the Sheikh was giving a dars. Somebody was reading Quran in the background, and you could hear it in the dars. Sheikh told the brother off. He said to him, if you want to read Quran, you either go far away where we can't hear you, because you are, this dars is established and it's known. It's a regular dars and it's established and it's known. The people know it's happening. So whoever wants to read the Quran, likewise, we say to them, go to another room. MashaAllah, the masjid is big. That way you will not yani, disturb those who are here. Barakallahu fikum. Wa salatul jum'ah. Notice that Sayyid Qutb, he never used to pray salatul jum'ah. He never saw that the salatul jum'ah is to be obligatory to pray. Why? Because he used to consider the ruler as a disbeliever. So therefore, he would miss the Salatul Jum'ah. So whoever Allah places as a leader of the Muslims, then Salatul Jum'ah is to be prayed behind him or those who he appoints from the Muslims. Also, in this matter, there's a narration, which we remember the narration of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu. And this is something important for you to know, Ikhwan. Many years ago, yani more than 15 years ago, we came across a risala, a small treatise, small risala by Nasir Umar. And this risala is called Luhum al-Ulama Masmuma, has a nice title. So I got the risala. I didn't know much about the author. And I started reading it. MashaAllah, in the beginning, talks about the, you know, you can always, subhanAllah, see that the thing is, in the beginning, talks about that it's not allowed to speak against the rulers, and you think the book is good. Then he comes to this narration of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu, when he went out with the ruler of his time, Marwan. He went out with him to the Eid prayer. When he went out with him, Marwan, before he led the prayer, he started doing the khutbah, which we know is opposing the sunnah. So Abu Sa'id al-Khudri grabbed his thobe from the bottom, and fajabadahu, and he pulled it down. And he said, bal ghayyart, you have changed. Yani changed the sunnah. The sunnah is the khutbah first, and then the salah first, and then the khutbah. He did the opposite. So in the footnote there, Nasir Umar, may Allah guide us all, he said, oh, look at this. He didn't say to him, it's not said, write, give him nasiha secretly, write it on a piece of paper between you and him. Meaning that you can openly refute. And he left it like that. Or openly, yani speak out against the ruler. Na'am, if you're in front of him, then the kalimatul haq, the greatest form of jihad, is to speak the kalimatul haq inda sultan al-ja'ir. Inda. Dharf makan, those who know Arabic language, dharf makan means in front of him, not far away from him, thousands of miles away from him. And you are saying you are following this hadith. La wallah, you're not following that hadith, and nor are you following the author of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. So this narration here, Sheikh Ubayd Hafidhullah explains it in Usul al-Sitta, Tanbih Dawi al-Uqul al-Salima, regarding the sharh of Usul al-Sitta al-Azima. He mentions this narration in there, and he says that, you know, some of these political activists, they use this narration to show that you can openly speak out against the rulers. This is not the case. If you're in front of him and you have you're brave, as Ibn Abbas said to Sa'id ibn Musayyib, if you can do it and you can have aman that is not going to kill you, then do it. But if you're not, then advise him secretly between you and him. So here, that narration also has some other benefits. First of all, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri was going towards the Eid place with who? With Marwan. Akhi, the one who's reading Quran, please, can you read in the room inside? Because it's disturbing us, wallah. So anyway, continuing with the man a'adaha, na'am. Continuing with the Eid narration, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu went with him, and the narration mentions that he went with him side by side, with his hand in his hand, like this, going with him. Imagine that, Sahabi radiallahu anhu, going with a ruler who has made mukhalafa of the sunnah, and he's still going with him to the Eid. Why? Because this is from Bab al-Nasiha. From Bab al-Nasiha. Just like you don't like to be advised openly, the ruler don't like to be advised openly in front of the people. So from Bab al-Nasiha, they used to advise, the Sahabi used to advise the rulers that they lived under. So subhanAllah, look at the adab of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, this affair. And I give you another narration that Sheikh Muhammad al-Banna used to mention. And this is the narration of Hajj, where Ali radiallahu anhu came out from Yemen to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hajj. And also Abu Musa al-Ash'ari came out from Yemen to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hajj. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he didn't have the hadi, the sacrificial animal. Ali radiallahu anhu brought 100 camels to be sacrificed. When they met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ali radiallahu anhu gave 63 camels to be slaughtered by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the scholars say one for each year of his life, because he died at 63. And the rest were slaughtered by Ali radiallahu anhu. The rest of some of the companions did not have a sacrificial animal. So the Prophet ordered them to come out of Ihram, to shave, come out of Ihram, wait for the 8th day of Dhul Hijjah, then go back into Ihram. Salam to Allah. As for Ali radiallahu anhu, he was already with his sacrificial animal, so he didn't have to come out of ihram. This was the different types of hajj that was allowed: hajj qiran, hajj tamattu', which is the best of them. Hajj tamattu', umrah, come out, then go back into hajj afterwards. Some sahaba like this, some sahaba like that. One sahabi was mufrid, came all the way from Qasim, from Jabal Tay, all the way from Ha'il, Urwa ibn Mudarris. He came all the way, and he'd already missed them from in Arafah. He just passed by the night in Arafah when everybody is gone, and he'd prayed Salat al-Fajr with the Prophet ﷺ in Muzdalifah, and Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said that he has Hajj, meaning that will be Hajj Ifrad, because he didn't precede it with any Umrah, any Sa'i, any Tawaf. Anyway, that is the three types of Hajj which is allowed. As for, let's look at the affair of how to deal with the rulers in this qissa of the Sahaba radiallahu of Hajj. Sheikh Muhammad al-Banna Hafidhullah mentions this. Sheikh Muhammad al-Banna Hafidhullah was faqih, wallah. Faqih, mashallah, I bring you fawaid, beneficial fawaid, especially to clarify these matters. So this narration here, it mentions that someone with a sacrificial animal and someone would not. In the khilafah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu, he used to do whatever Rasulullah did: Hajj Qiran, always with a sacrificial animal. In the time of Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, who was the leader of the Muslims at that time, the second Khalifa, he used to do what Rasulullah did. And anybody who does otherwise, yani does the Hajj Tamattu', he forbade. Why? Because the proof didn't reach him to do that. The narrations didn't reach him that it was allowed. He forbade it. So when Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu heard that, and the people came to him and said, look, he's saying this, he's negating that there is something called the Hajj Tamattu'. So Abu Musa radiallahu anhu, what did he do? Did he go openly? Let's go out against him. Rabble rousers, come together. Let's go. No, because this is not the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. The Sahaba, they followed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa advice in how to do it. So Sahaba were not like these rabble like you find nowadays. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu, what did they do? Abu Musa radiallahu anhu went to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu alone, secretly, and he advised him. He says, don't you remember what happened? Some were with the sacrificial animal and some were not with the sacrificial animal. So Umar al-Khattab said, he said, what I based it was on the Quran. Allah says in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ. No, the other verse, sorry. وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. And established the Hajj and the Umrah for Allah. He did not separate it, so he put it together. That is Quran. Not to separate it, come out of Ihram, then go back again. Allah mentioned it together. And that's what I based it upon, this verse. And I based it upon what Rasulullah did, which is with the sacrificial animal. And anyone who does otherwise, he's opposing. I thought that he was opposing Rasulullah. But Abu Musa radiallahu anhu says, look, Rasulullah accepted both. And he accepted this other type of Hajj. So he advised him secretly. Look how the Sahaba dealt with or used to advise the leaders of the Muslims in their time. So Salatul Jum'ah, they are the ones who apply it in their country. And baqiya tama rak'atayn. It continues and it's complete. And it's two rak'as. Man a'adahuma fahuwa mubtadi'. Whoever repeats it, because some people, they're like khawarij, they pray with the imam, the leader of the Muslims, and then afterwards they repeat the two rak'as thinking that it's not accepted. They think it's not accepted. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah says he's an innovator who does that. So Sayyid Qutb, who says that there's no Salat al-Jum'ah and also the Eid, they would not leave these kind of prayers because they used to make takfir of the leaders of their time, then this is the way of innovators. And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah says, and he is tarikun lil athar, he leaves the athar, mukhalifun lis sunnah, opposing the sunnah, laysa lahu min fadl al jum'ah shay, he will not have the virtue of jum'ah in anything. Idha lam yara as-salata khalf al a'imma, if he doesn't see the salah behind the a'imma. What was Abu Sa'id al-Khudri doing? Praying behind him. Afterwards, did he make inqilab against Marwan? No, we do not find that. Even though he opposed the sunnah. And opposing the sunnah, is that not from hukum bighayri ma anzal Allah? Inam. And it's from hukum bighayri ma anzal Allah. So therefore there's tafsil. There is tafsil. There is detail in the matter. The person who does not rub Allah's law, he may be a disbeliever if it emanates from his heart and he rejects the deen. And he believes that Allah's, that these foreign laws are better than Allah's law, or they're on par with Allah's law, or the person has a choice. he disbelieves. As for if he says it's Allah's law is the truth, yes, but he falls short in this matter or on incorrect ijtihad that he had, just like the three leaders in the time of Imam Ahmad, an incorrect ijtihad based upon evil individuals that are around Ma'mun and the other two leaders in the time of Imam Ahmad. Because of that false ijtihad and false understanding, then the Imam Ahmad knew, rahimullah, that he had to first establish the hujjah upon that man, even though he had a kufr statement, and that is when he said the Quran is created. No. And that is a, wallahi, a great dangerous statement to make, because the Quran is the speech of Allah. How can it not be when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger told us to say in the morning the dua, a'udhu bi kalimati illahi tammati min sharri ma khalaq. We seek refuge with the complete words of Allah from the evil that he created, min sharri ma khalaq. The complete words of Allah, a'udhu isti'adha, seeking refuge, is an act of worship. How can we do an act of worship to something that's created? Idan a'udhu bi kalimati Allah, the kalimat of Allah are not created. Because isti'adha, you can't do isti'adha of a created thing. Rather, isti'adha here with the speech of Allah, because it's from his attributes. And also, it's from his that, from jiha. So Allah speaks when he wills. Whenever he wills, and he says what he wills to whomsoever he wills. So here, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah says, وَيَدِينُ بِأَنَّهَا تَامَّةً. And the person should also believe, not just pray with the imam, the leaders of the Muslims, whether he is righteous or an evil, wretched person. Still, he should not only pray behind him, but believe that it is a complete prayer. Look, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, what he's saying, لَا يَكُنْ فِي صَدْرِكَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الشَّكْ. There should be no doubt in your heart. Sheikh Rabi Hafidhullah says, ما دام الجهاد ماضيا إلى يوم القيامة فيجب أن نجاهد تحت إراية الإمام البر أو الفاجر وفعل هذا السلف كابن المبارك والأوزاعي وأحمد بن حنبل كان يخرج وغيره يخرجون إلى الثغور يجاهدون تحت لواء الدولة العباسية. Look, Sheikh Rabi Hafidhullah says, likewise, the A'imma of the Muslims, they used to also fight the jihad behind the scholars. They used to fight the jihad behind the leaders of the Muslims. In the Abbasiyya period, we find the likes of Ibn Mubarak and the Ibn Mubarak, Abdullah Ibn Mubarak, radiallahu rahimahullah, who died 160 Hijriyah, and Al-Awza'i and Ahmad Ibn Hanbal, 241. They used to fight behind the leaders of the Muslims. It wasn't just rabble, like you find somebody all of a sudden in Labour Grove saying, let's all go out to Tajikistan because we're going to establish Islamic State there all of a sudden. And who's going to be the leader? It's me. And he told all the people, burn all your passports, but he kept his one. So they got stuck out there, he came back. So look at this, the likes of these individuals. Nasallahu salama ila thur. So, and also, this is not how Islam is going to be established. Amir Mu'mineen, how many Amir Mu'mineen are there nowadays? Oh, in the hundreds. Yani, the false ones we mean. The ones who go around. This one, Amir Mu'mineen from the Sufis. How many Sufi Amir Mu'mineen do we have? Or those who say that they have bay'ah? Many. Or each one, kullu hizbin bima ladayhim farihun. Each sect rejoicing with what it has. Each sect says, I'm right, everyone else. So that means we have so many Umar. So if everyone was to give a, they would all fight each other in the end. Is this Islam? سبحان الله شيخ ربيع حفظه سيد فيرى أن قسمة الفيء للأمراء ويرى أن إقامة الحدود في الزنا والقتل. So whether the punishment is to be applied, whether it is zina, that is for the leaders of the Muslims, not for anybody to apply it, whether it is zina, and that is 100 lashes, or killing, or sariqa, or stealing, or drinking alcohol, or other than that, that is for the leaders of the Muslims to establish the hudud. Not like those in South London, a group of rabble rousers again, who go around in their motorbikes, establishing the hudud, yani, upon the people. And what do? They steal the money from the people. If Islamic State was established, they'll be the first to be dealt with from their stealing. And they'll be the first to be dealt with their zina. They say they can have girlfriend because they consider it to be dar harb. So therefore, this girlfriend is actually not a girlfriend. She is the booty. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They make halal that which is haram. So أين الحكم الحكم الله أفل حكم الجاهلية يبغون. Is it the حكم of جاهلية that they seek؟ وإنما يتولى الأمر في ذلك الحاكم لأن هذا حقه. This is his right. The حاكم's right is to do that. ولأن تولى الأفراد نعم ولئن تولى الأفراد أو الطوائف لهذه الأشياء يؤدي إلى السفك أو سفك دماء ويؤدي إلى فتن. And if the group of individuals were to apply these hudud, that will bring about much bloodshed, and that will bring about much fitan, much turmoil, which you cannot even say when the end is going to be. لكن إذا تولى ذلك ولي أمر. But if the leader of the Muslims, he was the one who was to apply that. And even in this country, you already have in this country a leader, he's not a Muslim, but they have their own laws that they apply. And there is benefit in some of the laws that the fief is caught. All right, the Sharia has not applied, no doubt. But what do you do in this situation? The Muslims lived under the king, Ethiopian king, who later became Muslim, alhamdulillah, king of Habasha. And they did not oppose. They did not go out. They did not oppose. They did not. They stuck to their deen. They applied their ibadah. The Rasul was in Makkah. He lived in a situation where he was not able to rule by Islam at that time. He knew it wasn't the time to rule by Islam. Yani, they offered him that, to leave off Tawheed. He said no. And he continued his Tawheed call, Tawheed and Sunnah. And this is for all of us today, to go back to the, not the time of Makkah. We don't call the people to go back to the time of Makkah, as Zarabozo says. No, we don't say that. Sheikh Mughbir Rahimullah says, no one from the ulama says that. When we went to visit him when he was in hospital before he passed away, Rahimullah, he said, nobody says that. From the A'immat al-Muslimin, that we say that we go back to the Meccan period. No. The fact that we say go back to the way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sirah, by first establishing Tawheed, that doesn't just mean in Mecca. Prophet established Tawheed in Medina, right until his death. And he said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودَ النَّصَارَ اتَّخَذُوا قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ مَسَاجِدًا أَلَا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا قَبْرِ مَسْجِدًا. Right in his bed, he said, don't take my grave as a place of worship. So he's calling to Tawheed right until his death. So this is what we call the people to Tawheed and Sunnah, Tasfiyah wa Tarbiyah, purification and cultivation, education. As Shaykh Al-Albani always used to say, that is the da'wah and the methodology of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What's the proof of that? His example. A man came and he said, and Prophet heard him saying, MashaAllah wa shi'ta ya Rasulullah, whatever you willed and whatever Allah willed. The Mashi'ah belongs to Allah. The final Mashi'ah belongs to Allah. You have will, yes, but that is under the will of Allah. It's not under the will of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's under the will of Allah only. The man said, what Allah willed and Rasulullah willed. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did the methodology of tasfiyah and tarbiyah on the man. He said to him, أَجَعَلْتَنِي لِلَّهِ نِدًّا. Have you made me a partner with Allah? This is tasfiyah, removing shirk from the community or any signs that will enter the people into shirk. Have you made me a partner with Allah? That's tasfiyah. And where's the tarbiyah? Did he leave him that? Khalas, let's go home. La. Prophet said, قُلْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ. Say whatever Allah willed on his own. Tarbiyah, education. And likewise with those who said, make for us, اجعل لنا ذات أنواط كما لهم ذات أنواط. Make for us, اجعل لنا ذات أنواط كما لهم ذات أنواط. Make for us ذات أنواط, a tree where we can hang out weapons for good luck, just like the mushrikun have. Prophet didn't leave them. Said, don't worry, we'll talk about shirk tomorrow, the next day, or afterwards. No, straight away, Allahu Akbar, he said, to show the seriousness of that statement. Allahu Akbar, you have said, just like the Bani Israel said to Musa, اجعل لنا آلهة كما لهم آلهة. اجعل لنا إلها كما لهم آلهة. Make for us a deity just like they have deities. So the Prophet ﷺ corrected them, and he told them, this is not what you should be calling to. You should not. This is a form of shirk. So he corrected them there and then, doing tasfiyah wa tarbiyah. Sheikh Rabi' Hafidhullah, he says, وفي مذهب الإمام أحمد وفي مذهب الإمام شافعي يفرقون بين زكاة الظاهر وزكاة الباطن ويرون أن الزكاة الظاهر لولي الأمر وزكاة الباطن مثل الذهب والفضة وعروض التجارة هذه لنفس من يملك النصاب من الزكاة. So Sheikh Rabi' Hafidh says, in the madhab of, or in the position of Imam al-Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, then their position is that zakah which is like the behemoth al-an'am from cattle, that is to be given to the leaders of the Muslim. As for the zakah with regards gold and business, like urud al-tijara, you may have yani urud al-tijara, a business that you have on item stock, then that zakah, then you have to do it as an individual for yourself to bring that zakah out. 2.5% of the of the excess wealth after a year that's passed by, then you take it out and you give it. In urud tijara, you do 2.5% of what is left after 1 year. So if you have, say for example, books, you enter the business of books, for example, you have 1,000 books at the after 1 year, they didn't get sold. A few hundred got sold, maybe 800 didn't get sold. You pay zakah or you give zakah, and you can give it for wealth or even books to those who are in needy, to those who are in need. And that is allowed, as Shaykh Ubayd Hafidhullah mentions, and many of the other scholars. ولكن مع هذا لو أعطاها لولي الأمر, he says, even with that, if he gives it to the ولي الأمر, whether that zakah is for gold or other than or عروض التجارة, then if he asks for it, then it is to be given to him. وإذا امتنعوا عن أدائها له أن يقاتلهم كما قاتل الصحابة مانع الزكاة. And if they do not pay that zakah, it is upon the leader to fight them until, just like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did, for those who didn't want to pay the zakah, because that's for the benefit of all the society. Because that zakah is used for who? For the masakeen, for the poor, the fuqara, those who are much need, and also for those to bring their hearts to bring their hearts closer to the deen, and the one who's traveling, who's in need, and so forth, from the 8 categories of the zakah categories. بعض الناس يعيد الصلاة الجمعة. Some people, they repeat their salat al-jum'a. يعني عذر في نظره يعني إما لأنه ما بلغ العدد الأربعين. Some people say because for an excuse they say we haven't reached 40 in number. وإما لأن الإمام يرى صلاته ليست صحيحة, or he sees that the imam salah is not correct. وهذا شر من ذاك, and this is worse than the former. هذا مبتدع, this is the one who's an innovator. حتى لو كان الإمام في الجمعة مبتدعا صلي ولا تعد. Pray and don't repeat, even if he's an innovator. An innovator, he means here in action, not an innovator in belief, because an innovator in belief is a person of shirk, for example. He got like the Brelvis. We don't pray behind the Brelvis. Why? Because they say, Ya Muhammad, and they call upon Rasulullah. Ya Abdul Qadir Jilani, Ya Badawi, Ya Fulan, Ya Fulan. We don't pray behind the innovators of i'tiqad, of belief. Those who have shirk in their innovation, those who do tawaf around the graves, those who go to the graves and sacrifice at the graves, those who call upon the dead, those who call upon others besides Allah, those who claim to know the unseen. These types of innovations in belief, we don't pray behind that person if we know that he has this. As for that person who is an innovator in, maybe he uses the bid'ah beads. As Sheikh Muhammad al-Banna Hafidhullah one time, he said, there's a big difference between that bid'ah and the bid'ah of shirk, of i'tiqad. The bid'ah of the bid'ah beads is a bid'ah. Rasulullah never used it. Sahaba never used it. Rather than Sahaba, they spoke against it. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu spoke against it when he saw the people in a gathering, and they were using stones to make the dhikr in a circle. All together in unison, they would say Subhanallah, Subhanallah all together. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And they would do that, counting with the stones. He says, what are you doing? Hadith in Sunan al-Darimi. He says, what are you doing? Hadith is authentic. They say, we are doing the dhikr of Allah. He says, oh, Ummat Muhammad, how you rush to your destruction. The Prophet's clothes have still not been worn out. His utensils have still not broken. And you better count your sins. Uddu sayyatikum. Count your sins. They said, Ya Aba Abdurrahman, we only intended good. He, radiallahu anhu, said, how many people intend good but don't reach it? And in that qissa, there is a beautiful benefit. Initially, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu saw them first in this gathering, and he didn't say anything. Why? He says, I will first ask Abu Abdurrahman. So he waited outside the door of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. The elders, look how they used to do. Not like the Shabab nowadays. You learn a little bit and all of a sudden, mashallah, Ibn Taymiyyah. La yaghi. Go to the elders and stick to the elders. Nobody is going to come back to England, Ibn Taymiyyah, unless Allah wills. Or America. We don't have ulama like that. We don't have ulama like that. We don't have ulama in the West. This is clear. And many of those who like to be the ulama, who come back here even after they get a little piece of paper, yani they graduate, they didn't sit with the ulama, they graduate and yet they end up signing pledges with the Sufis. هكذا طريقة العلماء. Is this the way of the ulama? Sign a pledge with Sufis, we do ta'awun, we feel so much love with each other, so much love in the air, brotherhood, ma adri ish, with the Sufis, people of shirk. كيف ذلك؟ كيف ذلك؟ يعني تعاون على تعاون. When are they your brothers? If they're upon iman, not if they're upon shirk. Allah says إنما المؤمنون إخوة. When are they brothers? When they're مؤمنون, not when they are shirk. When Hamza Yusuf is writing the Burda of Busayri, and in there it says, when he's translating it into English and it's printed, it's more than £30, you can get it in the shop, don't buy it, don't buy it, it's expensive and also it's a waste of money because it's got shirk in there. What did he say in there? What does Burda of Busayri is? And all the ulama have refuted this Burda. What's in there? That وَمَا عِلْمُكَ إِلَّا عِلْمُ اللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ. Your ilm, Rasulullah, is the ilm of the lawh. You know the lawh al-mahfud, the preserved tablets, and the qalam. Allah told the pen to write 50,000 years before creation. The pen said, what should I write? Allah said, write whatever is going to happen. Rasulullah s.a.w. is supposedly supposed to know what is written. Kaif? Rasulullah knows that? And Hamza Yusuf, maaf mishkila, easy, no problem, translate it so the people can benefit. Benefit from what? Shirk? Benefit from believing Rasulullah knows the unseen? He know his knowledge is the knowledge of the pen that wrote? Nas'Allah salama. Allah says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ, say to them, قُلْ لَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ لَسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَمَا مَسَنِيَ السُّءِ. Say to them that if I were to know the unseen, I would have done more good, and evil would not have reached me or affected me. Allah is saying this so clear. Don't you read Quran, ya ikhwan? This is what we say to them. We don't say ya ikhwan. Don't you read Quran, O Sufis? Don't you read Quran? And those who cooperate with them, who graduate and then all of a sudden they sign pledges with them, don't you read Quran? That you are compromising the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That these individuals, they have their own program. The program of shirk and bid'ah. And you just sold out. You sold out. Because you think in the name of cooperation you can bring about good. What good is there in thorny trees? As Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, what can be gained from thorny trees except thorn? What can be gained from thorny trees except thorn? Why did Ibn Mas'ud, when he saw those gatherings, they were doing bid'ah, why didn't he say, let's all join in the name of maslaha and mafsada? Why were you just joining? And so much brotherhood in there. And so much, he didn't say that. He said, count your sins. How many people intend good but don't reach it? Why? Because they have opposed the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here they have opposed tawheed. To say that Rasulullah knows the unseen. And in another line, if you don't hold me by the hand on Yawm al-Qiyamah, I'm lost and perished. If Rasulullah doesn't hold you, what about Allah? And you negated Allah Azza wa Jalla, that the affairs belong to Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. وَأَنَّ مَرَدَّنَا إِلَى اللَّهِ, Allah says in the Quran, and our return is to Allah, not to Rasulullah. Rasulullah did his message in this life. So knowledge of the unseen belongs only to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِيحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. And with him is the key of the unseen. No one knows it but him. Not like these Sufis who say, I had a dream yesterday and Rasulullah told me to do this. Or he's going to bring a new legislation. No, Allah. There's no new legislation after the deen is complete. You cannot add to it. You cannot add to it. So the Burda of Busayri translated by Hamza Yusuf. And yet, the likes of those who, yani, who used to say Quran and Sunnah in the past but never understood it, like Abu Aliya, used to call for Quran and Sunnah in East London, Sarkhir Sharif, used to call for that. But yet, on his website, Ibn Jawziyah Institute, on his website, you have what? You have a link to Zaytuna Institute, Hamza Yusuf's website. What do they have there? They have their Sufa Dhikrs, they have their Da'wah to Shirk and Bid'ah. And you have no problem with that. Subhanallah. You see what happens when you leave the ulama, ya ikhwan. You see what happens when you leave Ahlul Ilm. You end up becoming the reference point yourself. And you flatter, you go here and there. You don't know, blind. Go to the right, You go to the left, you can't see the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Why? Because you left the Ahlul Ilm. You felt proud. You have it. You're now an intellectual. Intellectual, as they would say, Sufi Salafi. How could that be Sufi? It's a contradiction. Salaf were never used to be upon shirk. Salaf al-Salih, they were upon Tawheed. And they called it Tawheed. How can you have Sufi Salafi? Contradiction. Naam. The Sufis, they go to the graves and they call upon the dead. Salafi does not do that. The Salafi follows the Quran and Sunnah and hear it strictly. دعوني أستجب لكم. Directly to Allah, call upon me and I will answer you. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَةِ سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. Those are too proud to worship me, they will enter the hellfire lowly. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my slave asks me, I'm close. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ. And I answer the call of those who call me when they supplicate. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. So let them answer the call and believe in me. Look, believe in me, Tawheed. That they may gain a rushd, righteous actions and enlightenment. Naam. قُلْ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ وَالنُّسُكِ وَمَحْيَا وَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ. Not for anybody else. لِلَّهِ. لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. لَا شَرِيكَ لَكُ بِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Say my prayer, my sacrifice, and my life and my death, all for Allah. Not for these Sufi sheikhs who are dead. Not for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's all for Allah, directly. Because the affair belongs to Allah. Who is the most content people regarding the shafa'ah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Who? The people of Tawheed. The people of Ikhlas. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أسعد الناس بشفاعتي يوم القيامة من قال لا إله إلا الله خالصا من قلبي. Hadith in Bukhari, Kitab al-Ilm. Hadith Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The most content people concerning my shafa'ah are those who say, لا إله إلا الله sincerely from their hearts. Upon Tawheed. The Hadith Bitaqa. All of the 99 scrolls will perish because he's upon Tawheed. He's upon La ilaha illallah. Fulfilling the conditions of La ilaha illallah is upon Tawheed, upon Ikhlas. The people of Shirk are not upon that. And Allah la yaghfiru ayyushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. Allah will not forgive a shirk. He will forgive anything else but that. وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَئِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ بَلِ اللَّهَ فَاعْبُدْ وَكُن مِّنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. In Surah Az-Zumar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it has been revealed to you, Muhammad, that if you were to commit shirk, your actions will become null and void. If you were to commit shirk. And in Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions 18 prophets and messengers. And after that, he says, وَلَوْ أَشْرَكُوا لَحَبِطَ عَنْهُمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And if they were to commit shirk, all their actions would become null and void. One action of shirk, ya ikhwan. As Shaykh Ubayd Hafidullah said one time, one action of shirk in his dars of Kitab al-Tawheed, one action of shirk, ya ikhwan, will nullify your salah, your siyam, your zakah, your hajj, your ibadah, all of it. And you enter the hellfire forever. This Allah Salama. And you want to cooperate with them. You feel so much love and brotherhood with them. What love can you get from thorny trees? Except thorn. That's Allah Salama. That's Allah Salama. وقال ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه يا رسول الله أي ذنب أعظم. O Messenger of Allah, what is the greatest of all sins? قال أن تجعل لله ندا وهو خلقك. He said that you make with Allah a partner while He created you. Allah created you, make with Him a partner. So Shaykh Rabi' Hafidullah says, this one is a mubtadi' who leaves the prayer behind the leader of the Muslims. حَتَّى لَوْ كَانَ الْإِمَامِ فِي الْجُمْعَةِ مُبْتَدِعًا صَلِّ وَلَا تُعِدْ. Don't repeat your prayer. وَلَوْ كَانَ دَائِرًا صَلِّ مَعَهِ. Even if he's a wretched person, pray with him. وَلَا تَعُدْ أو لَا تُعِدْ. Don't repeat. فَإِنْ أَعَدْتَ الصَّلَاةَ الْجُمْعَةَ فَأَنْتَ مُبْتَدِعْ. If you repeat that, then you're an innovator. Imam Ahmad rahimullah continues the next section. He says, وَمَنْ خَرَجَ عَلَىٰ إِمَامٍ مِّنْ أَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Whoever goes out against the leader, from the leaders of the Muslims, كَانَ النَّاسُ اجْتَمُعُ عَلَيْهِ, which the people have united upon. وَأَقَرُّ لَهُ بِالْخِلَافَةِ. And they have agreed with regards his leadership. بِأَيُّ وَجْهٍ كَانَ. Whatever way it is, whatever way he got the leadership, by force or by consensus, shura, whatever way, or by nasiha from the previous imam, like Abu Bakr to Umar al-Khattab and so on and so forth, بأي وجه كان بالرضا أو بالغلبة, whether with the pleasure of the people are pleased, or by غلبة, by imposing them. فقد شق هذا الخارج عصى المسلمين. Then this نعم فقد شق هذا الخارج. Then this kharij, this one who's gone out against this leader of the Muslims, he has shakka, deviated. Asal Muslimin. And he has deviated and opposed the Muslims. Wa khalaf al athar. And he has opposed the athar. Who does he mean by the Muslims? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He has opposed the Sahaba way. And he has opposed the athar on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fa in mat al kharij, alayh mat mitatan jahiliyatan. And if he dies, this one who's going out against the leader, with his tongue or with his sword, both of them are khuruj, then he dies a death of jahiliyyah, a death of ignorance. And then Shaykh Rabi'ah Abu Dhar says, just as in the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man mata wa laysa fi unuqihi bay'ah, whoever dies and he doesn't have on his neck a bay'ah, an oath of allegiance. This is who? This is for, if he lives in a Muslim country, to the an oath of obedience means any obedience only. Don't go out against him. That's what it means. Not here, like a lot of the Khawarij and the Mubtadi'ah. We used to know this group called Jama'at al-Muslimin. And they were Jama'at al-Mubtadi'in in reality, or Mujrimin. They used to go around saying that this hadith is for them. Whoever dies without a bay'ah for their Amir. Who's the Amir? Somebody who lives in a council flat and he's supposed to be the Amir al-Mu'mineen, getting benefit from the government. And in the end, until today, he's in a prison because he's got some statements which the government, you know, has caught him with. Whether it is calling people out to indiscriminate killings or whatever. Anyway, they got him in prison now and they're still giving him bay'ah. So how? Kaif? What does he own? What does he rule? No mamlaka, nothing. Just bay'ah like that? The only other ta'a that you give is if there are three of you in a journey, then make the one the Amir, meaning make the one who's going to make your affairs easy in the journey with his decision, so you don't differ. This is the only thing that is mentioned other than leadership of the leaders. As for leadership of the jama'at, this hizbiyat and all this, there's nothing, no proof to say, and this is all bid'ah. All of it is innovation to say give me bay'ah, or give bay'ah to the Amir al-Mu'mineen. When you're asked who to, you say me. نعم, so you can collect the money of the people, huh? من مات وليس في عنقه بيعة مات ميتة جاهلية. Whoever dies and there is no بيعة upon his neck, then he dies a death of جاهلية. This is if he's in the Muslim country, and he does. This means he doesn't go out against him. ومن خرج من الطاعة مات ميتة جاهلية. And that explains it even further. The first hadith, which is in Muslim, and the second hadith is in Muslim, and it explains it. It means whoever goes out of obedience, that's what it means. That's the bay'ah that is meant here. And that's why Shaykh Ubayd Hafidhullah says, the one who differentiates between bay'ah and ta'ah, this is an innovation. Bay'ah is ta'ah. And memorize this, because we had the one in Holland, Ahmed Salam and those others, they used to say, there is no bay'ah. Ta'ah there is, there's no bay'ah. So they used to differentiate between the two. And that's one of the ways they went astray. And also this one, Adnan Arour in Saudi, when he was asked in Canada, when he went to Canada, do you give bay'ah when you're in Saudi? Do you give bay'ah to the leaders of the Muslims? He says, I'm not a Saudi to do that. He doesn't understand what bay'ah is. Bay'ah is ta'ah, ya akhi. Bay'ah is ta'ah, is obedience. Meaning you don't go out against them with your tongue and with your sword. This is what is meant. And if you see some evil, then you advise them. If you're not able, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, leave it to those who are in that responsibility. And what are you able to do? Make dua for their betterment and cultivate the people. تصفيه وتربيه. Start within yourself and then with others. فلا يجوز الخروج, Shaykh Rabi says. وقال هذا في خلافة يزيد. وتعرفون حال يزيد. نعم. وقال هذا في خلافة يزيد. And it was said also in the Khilafah of Yazid. Yazid ibn Muawiyah. Who, in that time, there was some corruption that occurred from Yazid. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they never went out against him with their tongue or sword. ومع ذلك ابن عمر, by consensus, ijma' of the Sahaba, they would not go against him. ومع ذلك ابن عمر رضي الله عنه رأى الخروج عليه نكثا للبيعة. And Umar ibn Umar used to hold that going out against him is actually going out against the bay'ah. And you know, and he didn't want to die a death of jahiliyyah. So he fed for himself. وَمَنْ خَرَجَ عَلَيْهِ وَمَاتَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ مَاتَ مِيتَةً جَاهِلِيَّةً. And this qissa of Ibn Umar, if you want to see it, he mentions it here. It's in Sahih Muslim and the hadith, after the hadith 1581. Just for those who would like references, because important, our deen is best, we give them reference. Alhamdulillah. Then Imam Ahmad rahimahullah says, وَلَا يُحِلُّ قِتَالِ السُّلْطَانِ. It's not allowed to kill the leader of the Muslims. وَلَا الْخُرُوجُ عَلَيْهِ. Nor to go out against him. لِأَحَدٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ. From any one of the people. فَمَنْ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ فَهُوَ مُبْتَدِعٌ. Whoever does that, then is an innovator. عَلَى غَيْرِ السُّنَّةِ وَالطَّرِيقِ. Following other than the sunnah and the path. Wallahi, the Khawarij and the Ahl Bid'ah, they don't know these narrations, ya ikhwan. They don't know Usul al-Sunnah of Imam Ahmad. Small, concise book. Heavy, wallah. Heavy against them. And heavy upon those hearts that Allah has not blessed. And as one of the scholars said, you must have done something evil for you not to understand these narrations in your past. You must have done something really evil for you not to accept the sunnah of Allah. Really evil not to accept the hadith of Rasulullah. Allah didn't open your heart for that. مَن يُرِدِ اللَّهُ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرُهُ الْإِسْلَامِ. Allah wants to guide and He guides whom He wills. And if He wants to guide you, He will open your heart to Islam, to these narrations. قال الله, قال رسول الله, قال الصحابة. And you must have done something really evil, or you are doing something really evil for Allah not to have opened your heart to listen to the hadith of Rasulullah, to have a problem with the hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, to have a problem with the affairs of the sunnah and the manhaj of the salaf. You have a problem with Allah. نسأل الله سلامة. And you think that you are the Ibn Taymiyyah of this land. نسأل الله سلامة. نسأل الله السلامة. لأن الخروج, شيخ ربيع حفظ الله says, because going out against him مخالف للنصوص الثابتة, goes against the نصوص, the clear text from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, ومخالف لأصل عظيم, and opposing that great affair, that great foundation from the foundations of أهل السنة والجماعة, even if حتى لو كان كافرا لا تخرج عليه إلا إذا كان هناك قدرة. Even if he's a disbeliever, you don't go out against him until you have the ability not to bring about bloodshed. For example, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah himself said, if you're going to bring about bloodshed and more harm than good, you still don't go out against him, because we have maslaha and mafsada. As Shaykh Abd al-Rahman al-Sa'id rahimahullah said, deenuna mabniu al-masalihi fi jalbiha wa dhar'iha lil-qabaihi. This is our deen. Bring about the maslaha, not bring about mafsada. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he feared. He didn't fight the hypocrites of Medina. Why? Because he feared that the people say Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is fighting the Sahaba, because not everybody knew them. So he left the mafsada. The man urinated in the mosque. Prophet sallallahu alaihi said, leave him until he finishes. Why? He feared that the man will leave the deen, as well as the urine would spread into the different parts of the masjid. Prophet sallallahu alaihi said, had your people not been newly into the deen, we would have rebuilt the Kaaba upon the station of Ibrahim. He didn't do that. So there is maslaha and mafsada that Ahlul Sunnah follow. As for Ahlul Bid'ah, there is no principle of maslaha and mafsada. All of it, all their principles, they don't have principles for them to follow. So this all chaos. It's all chaos. Naam, amma Ahlul Salaf, Ahlul Sunnah was Salaf, for Wallahi sanu a'rad al-Sahaba. No, I'm sorry, I read the wrong section. أما هو مسلم فما دام في دائرة الإسلام. So long as he is a Muslim and he prays, he's not allowed to go out against him. حتى يروا الكفر البواح, unless they see the open kufr. And even with that, if it's going to cause more harm than good and bloodshed like in Algeria, you don't go out. They went out in Algeria, what happened to them? 100,000 people were killed. Did you bring about any good? No. All you did was bring about more harm and more bloodshed. And did you bring any rectification? No, not if either. Either you get imprisoned or you get killed, and harm is caused. And I missed the line. وليس هناك مفسدة راجحة حينئذ إذا أمكن التخلص منه فذاك وإلا فالأصل الصبر. So the asl is sabr. If you're not able to remove him, without any bloodshed and the maslaha is, you know, and the mafsada is not occurred, then otherwise you are patient. No. How long has it been? Huh? An hour. Tayyib. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. We can continue tomorrow inshallah. If there's any questions or corrections or any clarifications, 5 minutes inshallah or so. Bismillah. Time is short. I have to go all the way. I have to do some chores for the family. Now, so if there's any questions or corrections on this matter, otherwise we'll continue. We're on page 60 from 80. And inshallah we'll finish the book if we continue every day. 4 pages or so. Now, why did he say, what is it he said? Okay, get all the question. When you remember it all, inshallah, then ask, inshallah. Why? Because, yani, Allahu alam. I mean, that's what they say, scholars, they say, yani, half the answer is in the question. So we get the full question, then we ask the ulama if we don't know, inshallah. You know. But statements of kufr, not all statements of kufr take you out of Islam, if you didn't intend it, for example. Like the man who said, "Oh Allah, you are my slave and I am your Lord." He made a mistake. He didn't mean it. It was a slip of the tongue. Because of his happiness and great happiness, he said that. So Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah uses that as proof to say, look, he didn't intend it. So kufr, you have to intend it. Number one. And number two, you have to yani know what you are saying. Mustn't be jahil. Like the man who said to his family, "Burn my body. Throw the ashes in the sea, throw the ashes in the land, so that Allah doesn't put me together and call me to account for the bad deeds I've done." Allah will forgive him. Why? Because he is ignorant of the fact that Allah will bring him to account. And he feared, the fact that he feared Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. So, لا بد من العلم والقصد. Not easy. How do you ascertain ilm al-qasd? Except that you establish the proof upon the person. How do you ascertain ilm al-qasd? Qasd, you can't open his heart. Did he intend it or not? Maybe it was a slip of the tongue. And it happened. There was a fatwa, I remember a long time ago reading, the affair where somebody said, he said to another person, they get an argument, and then he said, may Allah curse you, your deen, or something like that. He said, may Allah curse your deen. One of them said to the other. So it was, the affair was taken to the Lajnat al-Da'ima, and they replied that if he meant, look, subhanAllah, if he meant the deen of Allah, na'am, that is a kufr. If he meant his deen, meaning the way he's practicing, because he's an evil, wretched person, then that is another statement. The person is actually reviling his character, not actually the deen of Allah. So you have to ascertain certain matters and unclear statements. And that's how ulama are careful. But Ahl Bida' no. Ahl Bida' yani, one of the doubts they bring, oh, they saw this king, he had a cross on his, around his neck. Subhanallah. One of the Tullab al-Ilm has got a nice book on this matter. He clarified it. He said, the fact is, he was the king, King Fahad it was at the time, he didn't know it was a cross, because afterwards it was portrayed to him. He didn't know it was a cross. If it was like, you know, as they do nowadays, if you, you know, like an honor of, you know, they give him like a medal and they put a cross on him. This is what he said. So khalas, we take it on face value. He didn't know it was a cross. And the fact that if he wore it, does he believe in it? There's another matter. If he believe in the Trinity, na'am, this comes out. But if he doesn't believe in it, and maybe the person, whoever it may be, was weak in this situation, does he come out of Islam just like that? No. The affair is a matter of i'tiqad. It's a matter of belief. And belief, you could do actions of kufr or statements of kufr, and not necessarily it will take you out of Islam. There are some actions of kufr, na'am, or statements of kufr, in and by themselves, they oppose iman. Like, for example, cursing Allah. That's one example the ulama bring. Sheikh Rabi says, you don't have anyone to curse but Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is an act of, or a statement of kufr, which in and by itself opposes iman. As for ruling by Allah's law, there is detail. As for yani salah, leaving the prayer due to laziness, there is difference of opinion. And due to juhud, they all agree that this is takes you out of Islam. So there's detail, ya ikhwan. It's not a matter of, you know, iman. They think that iman has levels, but kufr doesn't have levels. So how could it not be? Iman, the highest is say la ilaha, lowest remove a harmful object from the path. Of course, if that is iman and haya shuratun iman, of all three in the heart, in the tongue, and in the limbs. How kufr does not have levels? So it's not something that we just make up. It's not something. This is the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. We follow the narrations. Na'am. We follow the narrations. Circle. I don't know any proof to say circle, but a lot of the Magharba, we used to do it as well. In olden days, more than 20 days, you see your father do it, you do the same. That's what we used to do it. Subhanallah, like that. Subhanallah. Then we found the Sunnah. The Sunnah, alhamdulillah, is that you, yani, there's two narrations. You can look at it. You look at it and you can point. That is one narration. You point. Or another narration that you put your thumb with your middle finger and you point and you move it. Now, what's the closest position? Many of the Kibar Sahaba, they narrated that you point. Kana yushir. But they didn't say yuharrikuha, that he used to move it. They didn't say that. Who said it? A companion. He saw Rasulullah do it and he narrated it. Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah says that is shad. That opposes the kibar sahaba who narrated that you only point with it. You only make ishara of it. Ishara. And not move it. The fact that the sahabi mentioned it, he's shad in saying that. Because he opposed the kibar sahaba. And none of the kibar sahaba mentioned that. That the messenger did that. Or that narration is shad. Not the sahabi himself, but the narration is shad. Sorry. So they usually mention that. Sheikh Al-Albani, rahmullah, who holds the strongest position in this, wallahu a'lam, in Tamam al-Minnah, he mentions, there is no opposition to the two. To making ishara and to moving it. There's no opposition. Why? Because there's a narration where the Prophet ﷺ led the people in prayer. And he sat down in the prayer. وَأَشَارَ إِلَيْهِمْ ثُمَّ أَشَارَ إِلَيْهِمْ to sit down and يَجْلِسُ. He made ishara to them. He pointed to them to sit down. Pointed to them to sit down. He's going to be moving his hand, isn't he? So pointing, ishara doesn't negate movement, he said. Beautiful reply from Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah. Powerful. Adilla. Pointing does not negate movement. So he made ishara for them to sit down. He's not just going to say there like this. He's going to say, you sit down. Antum ijlisu. So he's making movement. Sit down. And even the Arabs, when they make ishara, from the ishara is that they do this. Come here. They make ishara to the person. Naam. So ishara doesn't mean that there's no movement. And also when you go past the black stone, you make ishara. You can make ishara to the black stone. You have to move your hand to make ishara. Or your hand always there. You're always going around like this. Nah. You make ishara, you have to move your hand from one position to another. So you go like this. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. So ishara does not negate movement. So therefore, when the Prophet said, Kana yushir, it doesn't just mean he was pointing, but in the other narration, he's not shad. So therefore, it is accepted as ziyadat tiqa, as ziyadat bayan, extra knowledge. That as Shaykh Al-Albani Allah said, that he used to move it. How did he move it? Was it like this? No. Because then that would not be ishara anymore. Shaykh Al-Albani Allah, that would be called Raf'u Al-Khafd. That would be called Raf'u Al-Khafd. And he raising and lowering. And he didn't say that. Kana yushiru. He used to, so it's in between a pointing and a slight movement. And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah says, that is like an iron rod against the shaitan. As for going circle, I don't know what that is against the shaitan. Allahu alam. There's no, we don't know any proof for that. Subhanallah. But a lot of the Moroccans used to do that. No. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Wa subhanak Allahumma hamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Inshallah, tomorrow's lesson is on at Dhuhr time. Inshallah. So we continue.